And this is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. There's always been equality, inequality, and there probably always will be. But since the late 1970s, the equality gap has grown much, much larger in the United States and around the world. George Packer documents that in a recent book called The Unwinding. He's a staff writer for The New Yorker and a talented writer. The Unwinding tells the story of how the rich got richer and how the rest of us have been left behind since the late 1970s, but it doesn't tell it through macro-level economics. It tells it through the story of the lives of people, some of those people you know, like Oprah and Robert Rubin, many of the people you've never heard of, like a guy named Dean Price.
He tried to open a chain of truck stops along Route 220 in North Carolina and Virginia, gas stations with convenience stores and restaurants attached to them. And so he was in the fast food and gas business, and he found out that it was a very tough business to make a profit in because up the road was Walmart and a couple of miles away was Exxon, and they were just beating him. And they had him hogtied, as he would say. So he finally decided to kind of strike off on his own as an independent entrepreneur and become go into biodiesel, making the fuel out of canola oil, out of waste restaurant oil, in order to get a competitive advantage on these multinational companies. And as you can imagine, that didn't go very easily and didn't go well, and he made a lot of mistakes, often found himself close to bankruptcy or outright bankrupt. Never gave up, though. There was something, you know, resilient and dreamy and visionary about this man, as well as being a salesman, often very close together in American life. The thirst for material gain as well as for a kind of spiritual fulfillment are also very close. And all those things characterize Dean Price. And he and I just spent months together in North Carolina. I followed him around and watched him work and watched him slowly begin to turn the corner and start to build up a business in biodiesel.
How's he doing today?
I think about the same. He's slowly getting there. I think he might have hoped for it to be faster. I mean, that's another aspect of American life. We really think of success as something that happens overnight. Dean is doing it one day at a time, one county at a time, driving all over the state to try to convince the public school systems to use biodiesel in their school buses. And slowly he's getting there. He's a study in persistence.
Well, he's a really interesting person to hear about because he believes in the American dream, and he believes that if you can dream it, you can accomplish it. You can become rich in the United States. It doesn't really turn that out that way for him. But he also has a revelation that also fits his business interest when he starts reading about peak oil. This is a revelation to him. And he thinks he's going to be on the front end of this wave of the entire energy economy changing.
Right. He reads about this concept called peak oil, which I think was developed sometime in the early 70s, which is the idea that you reach a maximum of productivity, and then you begin to deplete. So there's a kind of a zenith and then a downhill. And the idea was that around the 70s, we reached our zenith and have been on the downhill ever since, which is why oil prices have been going up and up. Now, recent discoveries may well have complicated, if not outright undermined, Dean Price's business model, because now the United States is actually getting close to being self-sufficient in oil production, and that might make life even harder for Dean. But he's the sort of guy who latches onto a vision and lets it carry him. One of the celebrity profiles in the book, and there's 10 famous people whose lives are sketched during the course of this book, is Oprah Winfrey. And this is her mantra too. And I think it's an idea that comes to the surface most often at times when the normal, slow, plodding path of success that was the deal I mentioned at the start seems blocked, and you can no longer get ahead by putting one foot in front of the other. And so instead, we begin to think more magically.
And I gather you sort of believe it's kind of a bill of goods. I mean, you're
I look around.
Not too far beneath the surface critical of Oprah's message of empowerment and that it kind of simplifies things and gives people dreams that I don't – like what do you think about it?
Yeah, and it also kind of puts all the onus on you.
So if it's a failure, it's your
fault. If it's a failure, it's your fault. I mean, in the end of the Oprah chapter says she left them with no excuse. you could be me too if only your soul is right with the universe. Well, maybe my soul isn't right with the universe. That must be my fault. I have to do something differently. So I think this is a homegrown American philosophy. It was called the mind cure 100 years ago. It went from Emerson to William James to the more popularized forms of the 20th century. The mind cure, meaning you can think your way to solutions to your problems. It ignores the all-powerful force of circumstance, which I think is everywhere around us now. If you're making $7.75 an hour at McDonald's and you have three kids and your work schedule changes every week because you're on some sort of flex time, then exactly how is being right with the universe going to lead to success? I mean, maybe in 1 in 1,000 or 100,000 cases, you get there. And the chances are it has to do with luck and persistence more than being right with the universe. But in most of the other cases, it's not going to happen.
George Packer is with me. We're talking about his latest book. It's called The Unwinding, An Inner History of the New America. Now, you're right. There's nothing new about unwinding. You're right. It happens every couple of generations. Is there something special about the unwinding we're in now that began in 78 and continues through to the present?
I guess the big question for a reader of the book is whether this is cyclical or, to use a horrible word, terminal, whether we're in a phase of depression, both economically and in terms of our morale. There is a lot of sort of dispiritedness. Polls show that people don't expect their children to do as well as they, which is a turnaround in the normal numbers. Is that because we had this long period of flat wages and growing inequality combined with a terribly deep recession that didn't seem to change those trends at all? Or is it because we're at a curve in American history where our ability to grow and to distribute the wealth widely and, in a sense, to have our way to bestride the world like the Colossus we were after World War II, that period's over. And now we see rising powers around the world and tremendous global competition, and we can't or won't do what we would have to do in order to make sure it doesn't plow under large numbers of our own people. I was just in Germany recently, and it's a different case because they were not the superpower recently, but Germany has managed to become part of the global economy and still keep some level of manufacturing and middle-class life and social solidarity, and that's because they've wanted to, and they've created policies and laws. We have gone the other way. We've gotten rid of some of the structures that we created coming out of the Great Depression. We got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, for example, which separated commercial and investment banking and may well have been a contributor to the financial crisis of 2008. We've gone the other way, and I think the result is a more fragmented and a society in which you sort of feel as if you're on your own. That's true of everyone in my book. Many of them are living alone, and all of them feel as if there's no one out there to help them, whether it's government or a company or a family member or their community. And so this sense of being on your own is very powerful, and it has something to do with, I think, the sense that we've torn up that contract that used to tie us together.
George Packer, he's been telling us about his book, The Unwinding, An Inner History of the New America. Thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
This is The Record on KUOW.